Loving Father, we would see Jesus today. Loving Father, we would hear Jesus today. Loving Father, we would be moved to love and serve Jesus today. Amen. Please be seated. I have a question for you. What would be your dream for Christ Church Anglican over the next year? What would be your prayer for Christ Church Anglican over the next year? Think about those for a moment. Your dream, your prayer for this fellowship of believers. For the next few moments, I want to see if I can help you with your dream and your prayer for this church. I know that it is commonplace in churches today to hire consultants to come in and to study the culture of a church and to make recommendations. It is commonplace to have bishops come in and study the culture of a church and make recommendations for our dreams and prayers. But permit me, I want to go one further. I want to hear the words of the greatest church planter, the greatest church builder of all time, the Apostle Paul. As he looks at the culture of a church and he makes recommendations for its health and growth. Going to be doing that by spending a few moments in our New Testament reading, Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church. Before I do that, I just want to say that I'm very privileged to be a new kid on the vestry and learning my way around, and just returned from a vestry retreat last weekend, and I came back greatly encouraged and hopeful for the coming days of this church. I think some very wonderful days are ahead. Now to the church at Corinth. Paul begins this letter, I think, in a very significant way, as in the second verse of the letter, he says that he is writing to the church of God that is at Corinth. Isn't that interesting? It's the church of God that happens to meet there. That means that the church belongs to God. It does not belong to any leader, it does not belong to any group within the church, but it is the church of God that is at Corinth. It belongs to Him, it is accountable to Him, and it is God who empowers the church for growth. Now, it was on the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey that he went to this beautiful, affluent seaport city of Corinth. And for 18 months, he proclaimed the gospel and he planted the church of God that is at Corinth. Can you imagine having the Apostle Paul being your pastor there for 18 months? And then Paul leaves and he goes on to further missions, and he is followed by Apollos, which appears to have been a very intellectual, eloquent preacher with great rhetorical skills. And he served there pastoring the church at Corinth. It's been 4 years now since the church at Corinth got its start. They have had two of the finest Christian leaders in the first century as their pastors. It's been 4 years. You would have expected some spiritual growth in those 4 years, and yet Paul is writing in the text that there is stunted growth. There is arrested development in the church at Corinth. The mere lapse of time does not bring about spiritual growth. Listen to Paul's searing words. He says, "I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh." That is, they are being controlled by their own sin nature rather than by the Holy Spirit. "I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh and infants, as babies in Christ." I can assure you that the Corinthians did not like being called babes in Christ. You read the book, and you read the book of Acts, and they were people, probably the most affluent church in the New Testament time. They were greatly endowed with spiritual gifts, and they claimed wonderful spiritual experiences. And yet Paul said, "Sorry, I could not write to you as spiritual people. But you're people controlled by the old sin nature, the flesh, rather than being controlled by the Holy Spirit. You are babes in Christ." Now, consultant Paul is going to make a diagnosis of the problem. He sees two problems that evidences their lack of spiritual growth, their arrested spiritual development. The first problem he sees in the church is, well, we've seen it in churches since. He sees the problem of jealousy and quarreling that has stunted the growth of an otherwise very blessed church. He says, "For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations?" They're just doing what comes naturally to human beings. They're holding old grudges. They're keeping long accounts. They have divided over old grievances. Probably some of them can't even remember what they were. They're old grievances. And you know, Paul is concerned in 1 Corinthians that they are coming to the Lord's table holding on to the old hurts. I was struck by that phrase and the gospel reading this morning. He says, "If you remember that your brother or sister have something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." By the way, did you know that is what the passing of the peace is about in our service? That before we eat of the bread and then we drink of the cup, we say to our brother, we say to our sister, peace. There's no grievance here. There's no holding on to grudges. In fact, later in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, Paul warns the Corinthians. He says that they are eating and drinking judgment to themselves, because they come to the Lord's table with that very human inclination of holding on to old grudges and hurts. So the first problem that has stunted the growth of the church of God at Corinth and has stunted the growth of many churches since is just plain old jealousy and quarreling, like we see in the world. The second problem Paul puts his finger on is that there are personality cults. There are partisan divisions that are stunting the growth of the church. For all of my life, from the time I was a kid, I have liked to watch the news and to read the news. And when they came out with 24-hour cable news, I mean, I was in heaven. Can I tell you no more? I can't stand to watch the news anymore, because it is telling of division in America. Personality cults. I'm for this person. I'm for that person. Oh, well, yeah. Partisan division. Unfortunately, that has crept into and poisoned this church of God at Corinth. Paul says, for when one says, I belong to Paul. You know, I really like the way Paul opened up Scripture. I like the way he taught. And another says, I belong to Apollos. Paul, you know, he was a lot more eloquent than Paul. When one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? Isn't that a remarkable phrase? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We are made new creations in Christ, and here we are acting merely human when doing what the rest of the world does. Now, I've been in enough churches over my years to imagine they had parking lot meetings, you know? They got together and they talked about them and us. And Paul then asks the pointed question, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Why are you making such a big deal about them? Paul refuses to buy into the celebrity culture that we see so much in the church today of America. Oh, I'm with this guy. I like this guy. He says they are servants. They're not Christian rock stars. They're servants. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. Each one has been given an assignment by God, and they have carried out that assignment. They're not celebrities. It is Christ who is to be looked up to, not them. They are conduits of the grace of God. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Isn't that beautiful? Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. I love J.S. Bach, who would write on the top of every piece of his composition, to the glory of God alone. It's God who blesses. It is God who gives the growth. I've been in many churches over the years. I've been in many Christian ministries and Christian schools, and Oftentimes we have found it easy to look back over the years and say, look what we've done. Well, one plants, one waters, but to God alone be the glory. He gives the increase. So Paul comes in and he sees in this church that it's 4 years old, that he sees the arrested development, and he says it's really coming from jealousy and quarreling and a partisan spirit. And then he points the way ahead. There's a way out of this for the Corinthians. He speaks of Apollos, he speaks of Paul, he speaks of them as being co-workers together with God. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he speaks of the entire assembly as being co-workers with God. Personally, I like that on my resume, okay? We get to work alongside of God. Could God do it without us? Absolutely. But he has so dignified us and honored us as creatures made in his image and redeemed to be children of God that we get to be a part of a work that will last forever. We get to be a part of a work that will mean the redemption of the cosmos. Corinthians, you're co-workers with God. He gives the increase. I think that means for people, John, people who work with young people and children, God will give the increase. People who labor hard on committees, God will give the increase. People who reach out in mission, God will give the increase. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? But servants of God. Didn't Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing? Well, we can be very busy, but without Jesus, we can do nothing. But we get to be co-workers together with God. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's about him. Now, recently, I had some work at home I was needing to do, which can be dangerous, but some work at home that I was needing to do, and so I went to Home Depot. And there was a section in Home Depot, is a sign that said, work gloves, okay? So, I bought a work glove, two of them, in fact, and put them out in the back wall. And would you believe they didn't get a smidgen of work done? It called them work gloves, but they didn't do anything. A hand had to fill them to be co-workers together. God has said, I want to use you, and I can fill you, and I can use you for accomplishing the dream, the prayer that you have for Christ Church Anglican. It's never been about any human leader, but it's been about Jesus. I've always loved the words of J. Hudson Taylor, one of my spiritual heroes, the founder of the China Inland Mission. At the time that British missionaries only went to the seaports, J. Hudson Taylor ventured to go inland, with the good news. By the way, if you saw Chariots of Fire, Eric Little went out with the China Inland Mission and literally gave his life for the gospel in China. I am moved by the words of J. Hudson Taylor. He says, I've oftentimes thought that God was looking for someone small enough and weak enough that he could use, and he found me. I hope you will join me today in praying, here I am, Lord, use me. Loving Father, we would see Jesus today. Loving Father, we would hear Jesus today. Loving Father, we would be moved to love and serve Jesus today. Amen.